Hello.
One day, I'll turn your microphone up. How are we doing level-wise?
Who knows?
Okay.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just adjusting my pots, so sorry if they're a bit scratchy. Maybe you're a bit quiet. Be less twee.
Your pots?
Yeah, my little scratchy pots.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Trying to do it quietly, really subtly, so no one can hear the crackles.
I heard it.
1-2, 1-2. Yeah, that's good. Give me some level.
Hi. How are you? Last time we did a show was probably a long time ago because we've all been ill. If there are any residual sniffles and coughing, I do apologise.
I feel fitter than ever, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I'm back on form.
I have a lingering cough, but it's all good.
Question is, can people hear us?
I think so. Will said, hi, you both, which is a new one.
Okay.
It's a bit like y'all, but there's only two of us.
There is only two of us.
But I'm not sure that your apostrophe works if it's not a vowel. That's my thoughts on the subject.
Interesting.
Just to get a bit countdown on you.
Yes. Also, that's English, and I don't do English. That's not my strength at all. My microphone stand gets more and more wonky every time, and I sort of have
you're
to
like
look
the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
You know how Liam Gallagher sort of stands to sing, where he's sort of got his head to one side and his nose up in the air, and he sort of sings through like a nasal approach to his vocal technique. That's how I'm talking on this podcast. You know, I haven't got my arms around my back. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should swagger.
Well, I think we
do a podcast with swagger.
We've said before, and we'll say it again, our studio is gradually falling apart. But it's fine. We'll fix it.
In the off-season?
You know.
Yeah. How is everybody? Is there many people around? Do we still have an audience?
There are quite a few. And I have to say, I love everyone that sticks with us, even when we're like
useless.
Rubbish. I mean, I counted that this is FUF 10. So we're in double figures now, which is just not very many. It's quite embarrassing. But, you know, we did say it would be irregular. And irregular, it certainly is. I heard that crackle.
Sorry. Are you just a bit quiet?
Okay.
If you just speak louder.
I'll talk louder.
If you talk louder, I wouldn't fiddle so much. That's all I can tell you.
Fair enough.
Well, it's good that people are around. It's Friday.
I suppose you want like a roll call or something, don't you?
If you've got a roll call for me, give me a roll call.
Well, I'm going to have to find it. Hold on.
I like shades.
You do.
I like people.
I'm in the dashboard and it's a bit tricky to scroll in there because it keeps moving.
Don't you give me grief over the dashboard. That's all I got last night. Moan.
Why?
Because SciPodcast power users demand more of SciPodcast.
Power users.
Yeah. People who use it every day require more. Just adjust my microphone, sorry. And it doesn't do what they'd like it to do. And
no.
I haven't got time to make it do it. So, yeah, it was just a bit of a... FP1 was mostly just giving me grief.
Aww.
Why isn't SciPodcast better?
Bless, yeah. Okay, so that's different to me saying how I loved everyone and then suddenly now you're complaining.
It's not a complaint. No, it's just you are amongst many people who are complaining about the dashboard.
I know,
that's
I wasn't,
all I'm saying.
I wasn't complaining about it. I was just saying for that particular purpose, it was no use.
Understood.
For other purposes, it is great. So, shout out. Dreamland, Will, Christy, oh no, that's me. F, just a capital F.
F. Hello, F. Is that a new commenter?
Possibly.
Doesn't ring a bell.
It's hard to say. It's just a letter.
Exciting.
Lou, who is miserable, so we have to cheer her
up. Why is Lou miserable?
I think she's having technology issues.
Can I fix it?
Pat, who is pondering whether to go to Silverstone at the weekend.
Okay.
For touring cars.
Right. CJ, British or world?
Jason Plato and all that.
British, gotcha.
Ryan, Lukey, Lee, I think. Oh, Mark.
Hello, people.
That might be
Hello,
it.
Lovely, lovely people. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's see. Now we're back on the air. I suppose we ought to put together some kind of credible show if we can remember how to do such a thing. And keep people entertained. That's what we're here for, right?
Is it? Entertainment.
Yeah.
I thought we just talked rubbish for an hour.
It's entertaining rubbish. That's what it is. It's keeping people amused on their Friday evening.
It is. It's a nice Friday, relaxing. The weather is pretty rubbish outside, so it's good to stay in and chill out and think about F1 for a bit.
Good stuff. Apparently Lou is upset because Sky is being horrible to her. Now that's mean because you have to pay for the privilege of Sky. You would at least expect it to be nice in return. Not asking
no.
much.
No.
Can I gloat just briefly before the show starts? No, can I just gloat though?
No.
Go on.
No.
Can I?
No.
Oh.
Go on then.
Because it's Japan and it's an early race on a Sunday. And because we don't have Sky and because we're watching the BBC highlights, I don't have to get up early.
I know.
That's so cool. That makes me so happy.
Yeah.
7 o'clock Sunday morning is not my best time. And I can avoid it completely and just catch the highlights whenever they happen to be on. Perfect.
It saves you staying up all night.
And I won't feel guilty about skipping it because, you know, we haven't paid for to watch it, so I won't be missing it. It's good. I'm happy. I'm feeling chuffed with the way the cards have fallen for this the broadcasting for this race.
Sometimes this whole BBC Sky deal, it makes sense.
Working out really well for me. I don't know about anybody else. I'm loving it. Right.
So I wonder if there's been any news this week.
Should we start the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, how are we going to start?
I do love it when there's no Formula One news for ages and ages and ages and there's nothing to talk about and we try and do a live show. Because we're short on, we're devoid of subjects today, aren't we? There is nothing in the Formula One world worth discussing. What say you?
I say you're wrong in every way.
Yeah.
There's been so much news. It's been brilliant. The only annoying thing about it is that all the news broke last Friday and we should have done a show, but we were both ill, which is ridiculous.
We are fit and we are healthy and we are ready to discuss Formula One.
Yes. Yeah.
So, where do you start?
Well, you have to start at the beginning, which was Hamilton finally being announced at Mercedes.
Okay. Now, what do you? Well, let's break this down. First up, were you expecting it?
Not at all. I didn't think it was going to happen. People were saying it was going to happen. EJ said it was going to happen. So instantly, I didn't believe it. And I just didn't think that he would leave McLaren. It just didn't seem like the kind of thing he was going to do.
You thought Hamilton was woken through and through.
Absolutely, it's in his blood.
It won't be next year.
It's not. He's having a transfusion. There was lots and lots of discussion about it on the site, but I think we haven't really said too much about what we think. I'm confident that you think it's a good idea.
You're confident that I think it's a good idea?
Yeah.
Well, say
I'm less confident what I think about it.
Well, first and foremost, before the deal was announced, I sort of came around to the idea. Originally, I thought it was all bluster and maybe just news for the sake of news because it was very quiet in Formula One. I came around to the concept of it before it was announced and I think it's good for Lewis Hamilton. I think it's good for Mercedes and I think it's good for Formula One. I do seem to be on my own in thinking such positive... Excuse me. Sorry.
What was that?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Sorry. You may want to edit that out. I do apologize. That was Red Bull, by the way, coming back up.
Oh, lovely.
I do appear to be on my lonesome in thinking such positive thoughts about this. So let's go through why I think it's such a good thing. Firstly, every man has got to break out on their own. They've got to do their own thing. They've got to show that they are more than just the people around them. And I think Lewis Hamilton, the time has come where he's got to stand on his own 2 feet and say, I am this driver and I am this person and this is how I'm going to live my life. And at McLaren, he was unable to do that because of the way the contracts work and the way they keep hold of drivers' ability to work outside the sport and take on personal sponsorships and all those kind of things. McLaren are incredibly closed as a team. The PR department works overtime in terms of making sure that the image that is projected of McLaren is exactly what they want it to be. And I think that was limiting Lewis Hamilton. It was preventing him from being the man he could be. And in Mercedes, they don't seem to have any of those hang-ups. And I think it's going to allow him to spread his wings and that will be good for Formula One.
Yes, it's also good to be able to prove that you can do your stuff at more than one team, as we've seen a prime example of Schumacher not being able to do that. And Alonso, potentially, if he can keep his lead in the championship this year, he has been able to do that.
Well, Fernando Alonso has long talked about getting himself a world championship at more than one team for that very reason. He's been trying to do that since he left Renault in 2007 because he didn't want to win all his world championships with the same crew, with the same car, with the same engine, in the same environment. And he wanted to prove that it was him. And thus far, that hasn't gone so well. You know, he's done pretty good at Ferrari. Renault was a disaster and McLaren, we best probably not go into that at all. So, you know, the jury is still out on whether or not it was a good decision and he may go ahead and be able to prove that, you know, he is the man he claims to be and he got those world championships because of the driver he is. And that I can understand why Lewis Hamilton will want to do the same.
Yeah, I have a bit of a pros and cons list for it really because I can't decide where I fall. I'm sort of, you know, wavering every 5 minutes. I think, yeah, but it might be good. And then the next 5 minutes, well, it's going to be rubbish because it will be good that he can prove his stuff at another team if he can. He's not been happy at McLaren. So if anything, just having a change is going to be good for him, because the last couple of years he's been on self-destruct, and getting away from that is probably a good idea. He might find himself with a less competitive teammate, because Rosberg hasn't necessarily shown everything he can do. And then there's the whole less restrictive sponsorship and him not wanting to do so much PR stuff, and everyone thinks he can make a shed load of money that way.
So that's your pros.
Still not convinced about that. But what he is doing is throwing himself headlong into my midfield monitor range. I thought about
it.
If I was writing a column next year, he's going to be in there.
Because that's exactly where Mercedes are.
Yep.
Okay. But you're assuming that that's where Mercedes will stay. Now, if Formula One was that predictable, and if everybody who claims to know that Lewis Hamilton has made a bad decision can know that for a fact, why would any of us watch Formula One at all? Because all I have heard from the last 2 weeks is I mean, side podcast comments are full of absolute truisms. People just know that this is a really bad decision, and they are not being swayed in any way, shape or form. It's a terrible thing, and it's going to end in a disaster, and that is it. Nobody wants to hear anything else about it. And if that's the case, why is anybody watching Formula One? If you know who's going to come first, and you know who's going to come second, and you know that Lewis Hamilton is going to be 10th, why bother? What's the point? So there is an element of surprise in Formula One. Any team could move up the grid, and any team can drop back down the grid. Yep. All we have to do is look at Williams this year. That car has come from nowhere last year to be a top three contender at many races. And then you've got someone like Toro Rosso, who've got all of Red Bull's backing and all their money and all their support, and they've just essentially fallen, slipped back right into the rear of the field. It can change. Anything can happen in the off-season, and there's no guarantee that Mercedes will make exactly the same car as they had this year, and the field won't change around them. Because if nothing changes around them, there's no point watching next year.
There's also that engine change thing.
Well, that's 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're Lewis Hamilton, it's a long-term deal. What is it, a three-year contract? It's a long contract. So he's taken the long view on this, which is a great thing, because in 2014, it's all change anyway, and nobody knows anything about 2014, and don't even pretend you do, because you don't. And so, you know, he's looking at it and going, well, Mercedes are a big manufacturer. They're an engine, you know, they develop their own engines. Let's see what they can do. And it might be that they do make a better job of it than McLaren.
Will has said that Lewis will have the ability to build a car around him rather than have a design team giving him one that he's then allowed to drive, which...
That
could be true, but then he has sort of been the main man at McLaren for a good few years.
I wouldn't be surprised if next year's McLaren isn't designed around Lewis Hamilton and next year's Mercedes isn't. Let me say that again. No, did I get that right? I wouldn't be surprised if next year's McLaren is and has been designed around Lewis Hamilton and effectively has gone to waste, and next year's Mercedes hasn't been thus far, and it's probably too late to change it.
There might be a transitionary
period. Yeah, so there's got to be some time when the guys from Brackley learn what Lewis Hamilton needs and then build the car around him. Because the thing is, Lewis isn't taking, so far as I'm aware, anyone from working to Brackley. He's not bringing a team with him. He's just going on his own. He's being quite brave. He's just up in sticks and saying, well, stuff it. I'm going there. You guys can all stay in your fancy pants factory. I'm going down the road to you know, up the road to Silverstone. What else have you got on those thoughts?
That's sort of all my thoughts.
That can't be all your thoughts. There's so much more to discuss.
On Hamilton?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. What do you think he's going to do this weekend? How do you think it changes the rest of the season? Because he's still in with a shot of the World Championship.
Yeah, but doesn't that come into this weekend?
Yeah, but we can talk about it. Do you know what to talk about now?
I don't know.
We're on the subject of Lewis Hamilton.
Okay.
Tell me what you think thus far of Hamilton's weekend, now that he's at a team what am I trying to say?
I'm not sure.
He's at a team who know he no longer wants them. Loves them.
Loves them is good.
Loves them. I'll try and get that in English. Sorry, all. What do you make of Lewis Hamilton's approach to this weekend and the remainder of the weekends? this season. He's still in with an outside chance of the World Championship, yet he's driving for a team and he's surrounded by mechanics who know that they're not wanted. They're not the chosen ones anymore. And he wants to go elsewhere. So is that going to change his approach to the weekend?
Well, I love it because obviously there are other changes that we haven't discussed yet. And just generally, I love the concept of all these awkward meetings and press conferences with drivers like, I'm going to be in your seat later and stuff. It's just deliciously awkward. I haven't seen too much of what's been going on specifically for this weekend. I imagine that it will make him happier, a bit more free. He might be a bit reckless. You never know.
You think he's going to be more relaxed? He knows where he's going.
It's a slim chance at the title, so you might as well just go for it.
He's made his decision. There's no going back.
Mm.
And so if let's say that he also suspects next year's Mercedes won't be as quick as this year's McLaren, he's got, six more races to get as many wins as he possibly can. So maybe he's going all out to prove, you know, to get the race wins to do what he wants, because there's no reason to be cautious now. There's no reason to hold back. It's all out there. There's no decisions left to be made. He's just got to go as fast as he can and get the best possible results he can while he can. Talk to me some more about those other changes then.
Well, in place of Hamilton, McLaren were very quick to say, well, we don't care. We've got someone new coming in instead. And they announced Sergio Perez for the Hamilton seat for next year, which is a very interesting signing because everyone thought he was going to go to Ferrari.
And okay.
He hasn't.
Yes. I mean, Luca de Montezemolo didn't think he was ever going to Ferrari.
No.
Repeatedly said he's not coming to Ferrari. He's not good enough.
This is.
But not everybody.
It's a great move for Perez, assuming that those concerns about him aren't true, that, you know, he's not ready.
So, assuming that Luca isn't. Right, it's all good. Well, here's the thing: the guy is young, and he's not been in Formula One for that long. However, if you assume that he's the kind of driver who's going to grow into his role more and more, and if you assume he's the kind of driver who has the hunger that you're looking for, and if you're willing to take a long term approach, as McLaren appear to be able to, I think he's a damn good prospect. Yeah, he may not be. Well, he isn't right now, Lewis Hamilton. But there isn't another Lewis Hamilton replacement out there who's able to jump into the McLaren, or who'd even want to jump into the McLaren in the case of Fernando Alonso. So they're limited by choice. Whoever they go with is going to be a step down. But I'm guessing that they've seen something in Perez and the way he's been driving, the way he's managed that Sauber this year. And let's not forget, I mean, he was twice challenging for the win. It's been a great season. You know, the Sauber's a good car at times, but it's Perez who's made the most of it. And I think it's, you know, look, taking the long-term view again, it's a good choice. They've made a good decision. It was a quick decision, but it was a good decision.
Well, they might have been working on it for ages. We don't know.
There was a claim there was no plan B. Prior to Lewis's announcement, a race or so ago, there was discussion, and the result from... The official word from McLaren was, we're not thinking about anything else.
Interesting. So Hamilton made his move, and then they just called up.
They grabbed the phone. Like, Perez, what are you doing?
Come on board.
Yeah.
I think it's good because he's nice and he's personable, and I can see him fitting in there very well.
Mm.
He and Button will make a good team, I think. But it is a little bit gutting about the Tuned cartoon. I don't know if they plan to carry that on next year or not. If they do, they've got some great storylines written for them with all this moving. Mm. But I can't see Perez as a cartoon.
The damn shame was that Lewis Hamilton was the best thing about Tuned, and the character they have for him and the way they were playing up, like whichever episode it was when he was stuck in a lift, when, you know, he was just trapped and he was apparently bouncing around.
Banging on the doors.
That was, you know, that's perfect. And I'm not sure Perez will fit that role. And that is the biggest loss out of all of this. The only thing I most regret about Lewis Hamilton leaving McLaren is that he's kind of ruined the Tuned series. Because I was getting into it and I was enjoying it, and it's just finding its feet, and off he goes and ruins it. I love the Sauber team as it currently is. You keep... criticizing me for laughing at their YouTube videos, but I genuinely find them Perez and Kobayashi, I think they're a great pairing.
I don't criticize you. It's just funny because, I mean, you're literally laughing at them even when they're not being funny. You just think they're cute.
I think they're cute. I think they're a great driver pairing, and Jenson Button and Sergio Perez, I think are going to be great. I think it's going to be great. They might be the 2013 Dream Team. It's going to be, you know, the drivers to watch. Jenson Button, is he leading Christine's rankings right now? He's the most outgoing and personable driver on the grid, according to your own rankings. Mm-hmm. And I think coupled with Sergio Perez, it's going to be a good lineup in terms of, you know, fan interaction and all the kind of things that McLaren can do. I'm looking forward to that too. All around, I'm genuinely looking forward to next year.
His move leaves behind a hole in Sauber. And there was a great post from Chris all about who could fill that gap, which he actually wrote before the news emerged. So it was sort of both good timing and bad timing. And there were lots and lots of predictions from everyone in the comments about who could fill that gap and what other effects it would have on the grid. For example, people moving up and then leaving space in Williams, and who's going to drive for Caterham. So I love that this Hamilton move has finally freed up the whole driver market and it's all kicking off. But it's worth saying that there has also been speculation that Sauber are going to lose a lot of money for this move because Perez came with sponsorship, didn't he? But Manisha said, she gave us some facts saying, Telmex told us that for them, they have a long-term project with Sauber and this will not be affected by Sergio leaving the team. So does that mean that another driver with Telmex backing is coming in?
Almost confirms Esteban in the second seat, does it not? That is assuming that there aren't two free seats at Sauber next year. I mean, there's no guarantee. I don't know what Kamui's contract is for next year, but it could be that at least one seat is taken by a Telmex-sponsored driver, and Esteban has to be top of that list. So, I mean, it's good that there was a lot of criticism coming from people who couldn't understand why. Here's the thing I've noticed, and it's really quite sad, but a lot of fans who can't comprehend why a driver would go to a team or why a team would sign a driver, it always must be about money.
Mm.
And I can't, you know, people can't comprehend that Lewis Hamilton might just not want to drive for McLaren, so therefore it must be because Mercedes are paying him more money. It just has to, you know, there's no other possible conceivable option. And the same with Perez. I can't see why McLaren could possibly want Perez, therefore they must be thinking about Telmex money to replace Vodafone.
But it...
What? Maybe they just like him.
There is that, but so much of Formula One is about money. With all these drivers coming in and they have to have the sponsorship and you have to be able to fulfill these monetary requirements, that I can see why fans have been turned into this mindset.
True. Nothing would make me happier than if Telmex stayed with Sauber and the move of Perez to McLaren had nothing to do with money, and they chose him because they thought he was the best option. And I think he probably was the best option, because if you look elsewhere on the grid, who else would McLaren chosen? Paul di Resta, yeah, he's done okay. Last year was better than this year, not set the world on fire. Last race was good. That was his highlight of this season. Nico Hülkenberg, he had a good race. That's one race in 12. Brilliant. You know, none of the other drivers...
If they had no plan B, they had to get the first one that would say yes at a moment's notice.
You think it was the first person to pick up the phone?
Yeah.
I think they literally dialed four numbers at once.
The others went to voicemail.
I would love it if that was true also. Yeah, let's do it that way.
Another reason your next season is going to be good is that Michael Schumacher...
My goodness me, how did that slip my mind?
Not going to be there.
To be honest with you, I'm not in the least bit bothered, which is ridiculous because 3 years ago when he announced his comeback, I had a massive hissy fit.
Yeah, you were such a drama queen.
Threatened never to do any more side podcasts until you left Formula One. Couldn't bear the idea of him coming back. It's worth saying, we started side podcast almost with the announcement of Michael Schumacher's original retirement. And therefore, you know, him coming back was a bit of a kick in the teeth. However, he's done nothing of note since his return and hasn't got on my nerves in any way, shape or form. Mostly I've forgotten he's there. Couldn't care less about him. He's retired. Meh, whatever. He didn't have anywhere else to go. Interestingly enough, 7 times world champion. He's now been booted out of 2 teams, seemingly against his will. Maybe he just doesn't get the hint it's time to go.
You say he has nowhere to go. He said... And, you know, you have to take these things with a pinch of salt. But he said there were options for him to keep on driving, but he hasn't felt the motivation over the past few weeks or months. And he doesn't want to do it if it's not 100%.
Right.
Also, I did like this. I thought this was quite cheeky. Paul Hembree off of Pirelli, he said, If he gets bored of being in the mountains of Switzerland, I'm sure we can find something for him to do, although we haven't quite got £20 million for him, so it would have to be a labour of love rather than for financial gain. They'll just get him in the test car with the tyres. That's not a step down at all.
Michael Schumacher hates these Pirellis. No question about it. There isn't a driver who struggled more on the grid with these tyres than Michael Schumacher. He loved the Bridgestones. He loved the way they suited his driving style. He loved that he could tweak the tyres to suit him. He despises these Pirellis. Didn't he say earlier in the year it was like driving on something like ice or something? These tyres, he criticised the tyres. Was it this year or last season? He's been completely and totally, utterly, openly critical of what Pirelli have been doing to spice up the Formula One show. And that's why he has to go, really. It's time, you know, he had his time. Formula One moved on without him. It got better without him. And it's time that he went and did something else.
I think it's a little bit sad, not that he's going, but that that he came back really and it didn't work out. And it's always, I mean, we never liked him, but he obviously was quite epic in Formula One. And then to have this rubbishy little comeback, it's just a bit sad. He should have just left it.
That's true. Has it? I mean, yes. I despise Michael Schumacher less. That's the way I'll put it. I despise him less now than I did before he made his comeback. And that is because he wasn't the same driver that he was before. So in some ways, I've mellowed my hatred towards the guy because of his comeback. And so in that respect, you know, he's achieved something. It's just probably not what that's not the reason he came back. He didn't make friends.
He did some interviews and things and made us laugh occasionally, so you never know.
Yeah, I did like him. I liked Michael Schumacher on the pit wall for Ferrari. I recall thinking it was fun when he was calling the shots on the pit wall, and you know, he was fun and he was happy and he was chilled out, and that worked well. I don't know if that's the kind of thing he'll go back to, but
outside of the consultant
cockpit, outside of the cockpit, he seems like a nicer person. Is it a shame that his comeback wasn't what it could have been? Yes. Only in terms of, a successful Michael Schumacher would have probably brought more fans to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen. It hasn't reignited Germany's love of Formula One either. I mean, there's two races, both of which are still struggling to make ends meet. So that, you know, it didn't inspire anybody to turn up to the Grand Prix and pay for Grand Prix tickets as a result of him being there. Is anyone going to miss him? Probably just his fans.
I am left pondering what would have happened if it wasn't such a big Hamilton move. So would Mercedes, if they hadn't had any Hamilton dealings, would Mercedes have kept him? Would he have wanted to stay next year?
Yeah, and yeah.
Would he have been in the running if it wasn't Hamilton coming in, but if it had been not such a big name driver?
Michael Schumacher is great marketing clout for Mercedes to sell their cars. The big name, people all over the world have heard of him, and you know they will still recognize the name Michael Schumacher long after he's gone from Formula One, and therefore they can sell cars using his name. And without him, who else were they going to get to line up alongside Nico Rosberg? I mean, Perez and Rosberg, that's not a great lineup. De Resta and Rosberg, that's not really inspiring either. You can't sell cars with those names. So I think if Hamilton hadn't moved, Schumacher would have been asked to stay, and he would have stayed because he doesn't ever want to stop driving Formula One cars.
That's all I've got, I think.
Is it?
Yes.
Nothing else? Anything else in the comments?
On those. They are mostly discussing whether
Lucas's points are relevant. If you want to read that out.
He says, what a shame.
No, he's shown. Got that one?
Oh, yeah. In the comments, Lukey says, he's shown he's human now. It's easier to understand his flaws.
It's easier to like guys at the back of the grid. No question. It's very hard to like the same person winning race after race, championship after championship. And therefore, yeah, I agree with that. I'm with Lukey on that one. But again, this comes back to the 2013 thing I'm looking forward to so much, is that I get bored of the same person in the same car, and, you know, in the same helmet, in the same livery. It'd be nice to see
Lewis Hamilton. You can't get bored of the same helmets this year.
No, that's true. It'll be nice to, but will it or will it not be nice to see Lewis Hamilton in a press conference not wearing those gleaming white McLaren overalls? You know, wouldn't it be great to watch
weird.
It in the press conference, maybe a bit oily and grubby and, you know, and a bit worn out?
I think we can have a sweeper there.
Are we done?
If you're done.
Yeah, I think I have nothing else comes to mind. Nope, I think that's good. I think we've set the world to rights on that Schumacher thing. Yep. Yep, it's all good.
It's amazing what a difference 3 years makes. Sorry, excuse me. It's amazing what a difference 3 years makes.
To
no hissy fitting or anything.
The biggest surprise about Michael Schumacher's retirement is the fact that is how I reacted to it. That really is. I mean, that's the thing that most surprised me is that I went, "Oh, Michael Schumacher retired."
You were like the epitome of meh.
Yeah. I mean, for starters, I mean, I can tell you exactly where I was, probably to the nearest mile, when I was listening to Holly Samos announce Michael Schumacher's retirement on Five Live. Incidentally, that was at a time when I refused to watch the races. I mean, you watched the races for me.
Oh, yeah.
And then if Michael Schumacher did badly, I would then watch it later.
I was
later.
Like the gatekeeper.
You used to have to watch Formula One races and say, did Michael Schumacher lose? Yes. Oh, okay, I'll watch that one.
Did Michael Schumacher win? Yes.
Oh,
not watching that one.
So at the time, in 2006, I wasn't watching the Grand Prix of Monza, but I did turn on the radio for some reason. I think, because I'll tell you what, I turned on the radio thinking the Formula One had finished. It was on Five Live, and Holly Samuels says, "We're just hanging around. We're still on air. We know Michael Schumacher's about to announce his retirement." And I could tell you to the mile where I was in my car, and you know, it was my highlight of my year. The day Michael Schumacher, it really meant an awful lot to me.
You're so precious.
It cheered me up. No end. This time, firstly, I slept through it. Secondly, I found out and went, okay, whatever. So yeah, his comeback was absolutely, totally, and utterly worth it. Just for my reaction
just
to
his. Mellow you out a bit.
Chill me out.
Amazing.
Incidentally, the hissy fit wasn't even when he was going to come back to Mercedes. It was when he was rumoured to be replacing Massa. And
yeah.
It wasn't that comeback didn't even happen. And then there was a second comeback when I had another major turn.
Yeah.
So
that was not a good year.
Rollercoaster of emotions that man brings out in me. It is anti-Schumi. I really, 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 he got on my nerves. 2001 to 2006, he absolutely wound me up. I'm not a Fernando, you know, Fernando Alonso. I wouldn't say I'm a Fernando Alonso fan now, but in 2005 and 2006, I damn well was.
He was your hero.
Yeah, and a Kimi Räikkönen fan. Anybody.
Like, Lou says your anti-shuminess is so cute. There's nothing like telling someone weird. They're cute. You weirdo.
Yeah. The way you hit, your unadulterated hatred of that person, that's adorable.
Your almost psychotic hatred almost of this man. It's very cute.
It's lucky, yeah. It's damn lucky I didn't meet him in that era. I was, ooh. Quite. Indeed, the Michael Who t-shirt could come back, you know. It should come back, shouldn't it? Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just reading Pat's. Sorry, I'm reading Pat's comment. That doesn't make any sense on the replay. But Pat said because I knew the announcement was coming and he didn't have a drive, I wasn't bothered. But I wasn't even happy that he was out of a seat when Hamilton took it. I mean, imagine if Lewis Hamilton came along and taken his Ferrari seat. I would have been so pleased. But he takes his Mercedes seat. Whatever. Don't care. Really not in the least bit bothered. Honestly, he's just not annoying. The only annoying thing Michael Schumacher did since his entire comeback was he once pushed Hamilton off the road in Monza, which I thought was a bit aggressive and over the top.
Well, there's the Rubens thing.
And he tried to kill Rubens Barrichello.
That is not true. Also, the other annoying thing he did was some kind of interview on a horse with Lee. I'm not a
fan.
That
was brilliant.
No, it was rubbish. Not a fan.
Wasn't it his own stable?
Probably. I don't like horses.
Okay.
Anyway, let us move on.
Shut up, Lukey. That's it. Oh.
Oh, I love Lukey. Right. We mentioned briefly that Alonso is leading the championship. I'm sure everyone is aware of that. So I find it slightly odd that Ferrari keep on moaning about how slow their car is and how it's not working, and then the updates they're doing are working, and how they're now going to shut down their wind tunnel because it's just not happening for them.
What does that tell you about how Fernando Alonso is driving that car?
Well, if what they say is true, then really, really well.
Mm. I suspect they're looking at that data and wondering how on earth he manages to find the kind of lap time that he does out of the chassis they're giving him. If they are creating new parts in the wind tunnel and putting them on the car and it's not going any quicker, then they've got a major, major problem on their hands.
It also explains why they're not as mad at Massa as we might think they are.
Because it's a rubbish car.
It's really a rubbish car. But they said they're going to switch off their wind tunnel and use Toyota's instead.
I would imagine they were already using Toyota's wind tunnel.
Well, that doesn't make any sense because Toyota didn't exactly make their mark on the sport.
Yes, true. Well, they are. I presume that the Toyota wind tunnel is also being used for their Le Mans car, and that's doing pretty damn well.
Okay.
If you make a part and you put it in your wind tunnel and it says the car will go faster, and you put it in the Toyota wind tunnel and it says the car will go slower, and then you turn around, take it to the track, and the car goes slower, which wind tunnel are you going to believe? And I suspect that's probably what's happening. Well, one is correlating and one isn't, and therefore the one that isn't has to go.
Stefano said their wind tunnel, it's too old. So that's, you know, it's not doing it properly. They're not confident about the data. They're going to shut it down and fix it, I guess. How do you fix a wind tunnel? Don't know.
Depends what exactly is wrong with it. I mean,
how wrong can it be? It's just wind.
That's a very... What? Yeah, it's a massively complicated scientific experiment. It's not just wind.
Well, it's...
I mean, at the core of it, it is effectively
it's
air.
Blowing wind, yes. So that's just air. I mean, how wrong can it go?
Because it has to be tied to the rolling road, and then there's an 8-point rig which moves the car around it, which also has to be correlated. And the data and the sensors and all the bits that record the information and compare the information have to be correct.
So it's not like the big fan bit is wrong. Well, all the rest of it.
The fan will turn at certain speeds, and you need to know that when you put it at a certain speed, it simulates a certain condition. So it could be that too. I mean, they're hugely complicated pieces of equipment. And Ferrari aren't the first team to ever have a problem with theirs. I know for a fact, actually, that Red Bull, prior to their years of domination, switched off one of their tunnels. They had two running, and Newey said one of those is definitely wrong, and that's got to be switched off, and we've got to fix it. Since then, look how well they've done. I swear if you look back to 2005 or 2006, you can find Christian Horner or Adrian Newey bemoaning that nothing they find in the wind tunnel translates to the track. Now, at the time, I recall thinking, well, that's because you've got David Coulthard driving for you. He keeps crashing, you know, and bits fall off of it. But actually, since they sorted the problem out, they went faster and faster.
Lou has said the Honda 2007-2008 is a prime example of how wrong a wind tunnel can be.
Was that the problem? Yep.
Possibly.
Well, interestingly, 2009, Honda launched a 4 wind tunnel project for the 2009 car. So they would have had a massive data to cross-reference. But perhaps that's why they did what they did.
I think they should just stick with flavours. Can't go wrong with that.
But the problem with flavours is everybody else can see what you can see. You know, it's recorded, it's on camera.
What do you want, secret or do you want right? It's a dilemma. Let me finish my quote from Stefano.
My apologies.
Who said, we have to make sure that Fernando can win again up until the end. Otherwise, the title will be very difficult. Then we'd have to rely on the problems of the others, which is not the right thing to say or do at the moment. But that is how they've got this far.
Yes.
He's only won a couple of times.
And also, they're not relying so much on the problems of others. They are...
benefiting.
In some ways, they're causing them. Because it's Ferrari who keep sending the FIA into Red Bull's garage to clamp down on their funny throttle, on their hole in their floor, and now this week on their bendy flexible front wings. Allegedly, I should paraphrase that with allegedly. I think it was Ferrari who raised the issue. I don't know if that's technically true, but it's coming from that direction. The FIA are, either the Ferrari or the FIA are getting better at spying and spotting these rule transgressions, or the bending of the rules in the wings. And so what Ferrari are actually doing is causing other teams to suffer and therefore benefiting from their lack of pace, which is a great strategy if they can make it work. They've just got to keep finding those things that Newey keeps dreaming up.
They're making it work so far. Six races to go. I'm sure they can keep it up till the end.
Okay, then hold on a second. That sounds almost like a prediction.
Does it?
What do you think now? You know they've got a dodgy wind tunnel, but they've got a semi-decent one that they can fall back on. You know they've got a driver that's out-driving the chassis that they're giving him. You know that they keep the FIA keep measuring bits of the Red Bull and making them go slower. Can Fernando Alonso keep his lead until the end?
Yes.
You think Fernando Alonso is going to win this world championship?
Yes, I do.
He's got Lewis Hamilton, a rejuvenated and remotivated Lewis Hamilton with nothing to lose chasing him. You've got Sebastian Vettel with a Red Bull that's getting faster and faster and effectively is the fastest car on the grid also behind him. And you think he's going to retain this lead?
Yes.
Shall I tell you what I think is going to happen?
Please do. I can tell you're dying to.
I think Fernando Alonso is going to lose it at the last gasp. And I think it will all be Romain Grosjean's fault.
Oh.
Because
does it have to be?
It will be Vettel who beats Fernando Alonso. And he was the guy that wasn't taken out in the first corner crash in Spa. And if Fernando Alonso loses the World Championship by a tiny amount of points, that is the only race. That's the only time Fernando hasn't managed to bring home points, you know, some points this season, and I suspect will probably be the only time in the remainder of the races, and then it will all be Romain's fault, and I won't let him forgive. I won't forgive him for that if Sebastian Vettel gets a third title.
At least if Vettel does get a third title, it's one that he's had to fight for,
that
has just been gifted to him by an amazing car.
It's been a great season. I'm loving this season. And yeah, you're right. Fine. He would be a worthy winner if he manages to overhaul Fernando Alonso. Credit to him. But it still remains fault.
If he did it right at the last gasp, that would be just like the first one, wouldn't it? Where he hadn't led the championship up to the end and then it'd be that kind of thing.
And he was fighting Fernando that year too.
Oh, and didn't Alonso sit in the back of a van crying or something on the back step of...
Did he?
Because he lost it right at the end because of Abu Dhabi.
Possibly. I don't recall it, but you're probably right, yes.
I don't remember much, but I do remember drivers crying.
Do you remember Mark Webber crying that same race?
I don't remember Mark Webber crying.
Interesting.
I vividly recall Bourdais crying when he got kicked out.
In Spa?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because it rained? What's news in the comments? Yes.
Luke, he said we have to go to Argos and get an office van. And then I think Will said if we all got an office van and put them together, we could rent that to Ferrari. it's just blown your mind a little bit.
It doesn't... Yeah, all right, fine.
It does work like that. Don't burst our bubble.
If you were using an Argos van, your wind tunnel model wouldn't be much bigger than a Lego car.
Well, you can still get data off a Lego car, I'm sure.
It actually would be quite a like-for-like match with the Ferrari.
I don't have anything else on Ferrari. Do you have anything else?
No, I'm good with that one. Want a sweeper?
Yeah, go on then.
Ruben's had a sob here and there. Yeah.
Yeah,
he did. But they're always... Ruben's is always tears of joy. I don't remember Ruben's crying because he was really, really sad.
Yeah, I mean, tears on the podium is not the same.
It's not the same thing at all.
No.
Not as Bourdais having some kind of mental breakdown because it rained two laps in the end.
Oh, bless him.
He needed a hug.
Yeah. Oh, it breaks my heart that does. Bless. We did a post about that, didn't we? Like, things that have happened in Spa or something. I'm sure we did.
Yes.
You weren't listening to me, I know.
Yeah, no, I was. No, I wasn't.
Reading.
I haven't seen the YouTube video that Pat just linked to. Not Little Perfect Earth, that's the comment before. Lady Snowcat turned up from out of nowhere. I haven't seen Lady Snowcat for years.
With a comment about Kimmy?
Yeah. Don't we mean? Out of the blue earlier, linked to that on Christine's rankings, and I forgot to check it.
I'm just teasing.
I don't know. Yeah, Pat, describe that YouTube video to me so I don't have to open it in the middle of a live show and you will have to hear it.
Or you could just watch it later.
Oh, well, I forgot to watch it at lunchtime. Will Buxton caused all sorts of chaos today, didn't he? Did you follow the Circuit of America's controversy?
No.
Apparently, I I haven't got to the bottom of it because I'm trying to keep out of the.
Was it big,
kind of
massive news?
Yes, it was big, massive, breaking news.
Wow.
That the garages in the Circuit of Americas were too small. And so I think the people in the Circuit of Americas went and measured them and found they were the same size as all the other trucks. And so that wasn't such big news.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That man is dangerous for Twitter. He really is.
Fabulous.
Yes, it is. He said it's going to be, I forget what the tweet was. It's like, it's going to be a disaster and they can't fit the cars
They'll
in the garage.
They'll never be able to redo it in time. This is awful.
They can't fit the cars in the garage and Bernie won't let them fix the cars out of the garage and it's all going to be a disaster. Someone could find the tweet and quote it for me in the comments. It's hilarious. And then Circuit of America's went, it's fine. Charlie came and looked at it. It's fine. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. Fun. It's all fun.
Ready?
No. What for? Yes. Go on then. What? We're still doing a show?
I know. Mm. Crazy.
Go for it.
I do sometimes think we should just talk for an hour. Forget that show business. Not show business.
Forget that show business.
That show podcast business.
Yeah.
Let's just live stream for an hour.
Okay. We can do that afterwards. You want like a after show party?
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to do that.
Interesting. You didn't put up much of a fight there. Okay. Are you ready? Are you reading? You don't have to read the show notes, don't worry. I'll talk you through it.
If we did like an after show party, could I just read the comments? Because mostly that's what I enjoy doing.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
There's no good doing this now when we're trying to record a show.
Sorry.
What we need to do is embrace the live streaming.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Okay. If we could just record some more podcasts, eventually we could do some interesting things.
That's true.
Not asking much, is it? More than 10 shows a year?
It will be more than 10.
Barely.
Just about. There was some non-driver-related news over the past couple of weeks. Imagine that. First, we had a leaked provisional calendar for 2013. And then a few days later, we had the official one. And it was signed off by the World Motorsport Council. I'm confused why we didn't get an actual provisional calendar. Because usually we get to see one and we all get to complain about it for weeks and weeks. And then eventually they sign it off and it usually hasn't changed that much. Why did that not happen? Why is it all happened so very quickly and the only thing we saw was leaked?
My guess would be that the ongoing issue with the Concord Agreement is delayed matters. Mercedes signed it the day before, was it even the day they signed Lewis Hamilton? They finally agreed to
all this last minute stuff.
Mm, and I think that probably spurred the
Lewis World Hamilton Sport. Has a lot to answer for.
Well, no, because if he hadn't joined Mercedes, they wouldn't have signed the Concord Agreement. We'd still be waiting.
Oh, well, that's good then.
So Lewis doesn't have anything to answer for.
Well, I didn't necessarily mean it in a bad way.
Ah.
But anyway, the calendar, it's very similar to this year. 20 races with a heavy second half. Like this year, 6 races in 8 weeks. That's going to be hard. Valencia, it's gone. Not on the calendar for next year.
It's there lurking.
Well,
it's like a stealth race if anybody falls out of the running.
Yeah, and the rumours are it's going to alternate with, is it Spa?
Not Spa. Spa said, we are good. We're going to do it all on our own. We don't need to alternate. But you've got Hockenheim need someone to alternate with if the Nürburgring go under.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Barcelona with financial difficulties, so that would make sense.
Yeah.
You've got France who want to join the calendar. But with a race that's willing to alternate, so potentially you've got that. And also, Valencia is the backup plan, I think, if Jersey falls through.
Right.
So, at this rate, you could have it on the calendar more than once, even though it's not on there at all at the moment. I don't think we've seen the last of it, which is probably a good thing because the race this year was great. And as long as Pirelli keep adapting year on year as they need to and as they want to, and as long as we don't lose anything like DRS in the meantime, I think Valencia, it could be welcome back.
If you're changing, swapping out Barcelona for Valencia, that's fine by me because Barcelona isn't exactly.
It's just as bad, actually. It's not a great circuit. There was some other discussion that Bernie was interested in leasing, taking over, or showing some interest in Turkey. Whether that circuit could make, because that's got Turn 8, that's a great little track.
I miss Turn 8.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great track for fans, but not many fans go to tracks anymore, so it's not a big issue that. That's another circuit that could alternate with another track or could be added into the calendar at a moment's notice, so keep an eye on that one too.
In place of the dropped Valencia race, we've got New Jersey. They're in. Everything is looking good for the New Jersey race, but there's always that little niggling doubt that
there is might was not happen. there is the word I'm looking for. Sorry,
I'll start that again.
Yeah.
In Valencia's place, we've got the New Jersey race, which everything is looking good for that one. But you never know with new tracks. There's always, you know, is it going to happen, isn't it?
Was it not the only race on the calendar that featured an asterisk and a label saying this may not happen?
In the leaked provisional one, I think there were three. Singapore was one of them, and the very same or the next day signed a bajillion year deal.
Which was probably why that calendar was leaked.
Yeah.
Actually, because that spurred them on.
To push someone's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the official one came out, New Jersey was the only one left with an asterisk to be confirmed subject.
And Bernie also had that conversation whereby he said it's all over, there's no contract with Jersey, they haven't got a race. It's probably gonna be okay if they just sign up, actually. No, I think it's gonna be fine. He sort of doubled back on himself in the same conversation.
Yeah, he does that.
He backtracked quite quickly. So it's up in the air. I wouldn't say it's definitely going to happen. I hope it does. I'd love to see New York as a backdrop to Formula One. But there's still a long way to go on that one yet.
Also, it's worth noting that the summer break is back to 4 weeks again, which usually I'm a fan of breaks because, you know, you can have too much Formula One in one go. The extended season is quite a lot, and so a break is good. But 5 weeks this year was just too many, so it's good that it's going back to the more normal 4 weeks.
4 weeks was perfect. It was changed to 5 weeks because of the Olympics, which was a good decision in the end, given the popularity of the event. It's fine. 4 weeks is good. We need a factory shutdown. People need to go and have a holiday in the summer. You need to spend some time with your family. It's working out well. Again, 20 races. I'm dealing with it better this year. It's due to the fact that I'm only watching 10 of them live. It's suiting me fine. I wouldn't mind if the calendar went to 24 races because then I'd get to see 12 of them.
Well, that is...
Yes, I know. Don't look at me like I've completely changed my tune. I have completely changed my tune.
That's breaking news.
Well, it is. It is exactly the opposite of everything I've been saying for the last 6 years. However, it's all the BBC's fault. They've changed my perspective on the sport.
Yeah, but then that is just you being able to see more, whereas you know that for the sport as a whole, it would not be good.
24 races. I should think it would kill most people involved in it, yeah.
Yeah. Pause while he catches up with the comments.
No. What? No! Oh, really? Oh.
What?
Johnny Johnson bought 365 and tweet about it, apparently. Oh.
Is that the button on the Amazon? I've never pressed that button. I should press that one day. I have just bought a book.
Oh, yay, Johnny. Oh. Can somebody who can tweet right now just give him a hug or something from us? That's lovely. Oh.
You know, you can do all this later. You can watch the YouTube video. You can access Twitter later.
I didn't actually see what the comment...
I wouldn't...
Pat find out. I asked Pat to find something out about it, and then I didn't read it.
That's because I told you off. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't let you on Twitter now. It's bad enough in the comments. Aw, you're so easily distracted.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I have a slight issue, by the way.
Yeah.
Hold on. Did I just find that? My Derek Jeter t-shirt has a hole in it.
Oh, dear.
Mm. That's a disaster.
It's quite old, isn't it? You've had it for ages.
It's about 10 years old, yeah.
We don't buy clothes.
I've had this t-shirt longer than I've known you, if that's any help.
Another sweeper, please. Did you do a sweeper?
No.
I can't remember. Did I even ask for one?
No.
Do it.
I'm curious. Pat says 24 races is a bad idea. Is it a bad idea for the same reasons that I used to think it was a bad idea?
Yes.
Or is it for a different reason?
No. Just is. You know it's a bad idea. You just...
No, I think it's great because I'll get to watch 12.
Yeah. You know it's a bad idea. You just think that, you know, selfishly you'd get to see more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know it's a bad idea. You do.
I think it's going to happen though because every single race added to the calendar brings in more millions for CBC and they like millions.
Yeah. And there seem to be more and more tracks wanting to, or potential tracks wanting
to. If there's enough people out there and enough governments out there willing to pay Formula One to come visit, then that's how big the calendar will be. The only constraint on the calendar is not how many people can survive it. It's how many people are willing to add to it.
Yeah, I think it's you've got to be careful there, because Pat did a really good post about the calendar. And it said, towards the bottom, I think it said, how if you take away the silly names, like, what's it called? Grand Prix of the Americas or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And then just list all the cities, like, yes, Montreal, and we're going to Suzuka, and we're going to Monaco and all that. It actually sounds like an amazing list of places to go. And you don't want to water that down with rubbish places, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Well, there's still potential, because there's no race in Mexico. You know?
Is there an amazing city in Mexico to add to our amazing list of cities and places?
Yes. Probably. Where's Caracas?
Mexico City.
No, that's in Venezuela. I forgot, what is the capital of Mexico? I don't know where the race will be. But
Mexico City, isn't it?
Is that what it is? Amazing place, Mexico City. That'll be...
I don't know geography, don't blame me.
Packed with fans. That's a completely different way of looking at the calendar, and I hadn't considered that.
I didn't explain it very well.
No, I know what you're saying. What you're saying is, if that was your holiday guide, if that was a bucket list of holiday destinations, they'd all be great destinations to go to.
Yeah, it's just, if you look at the city names instead of the silly names, it's just an amazing list.
But Silverstone's on that list.
Well, there are some historical ones as well, yes. I will grant you.
Yeah. I mean, adding Manu Kaur would ruin that completely. That's not a great place to go.
Yeah.
Paul Ricard also, if it's there instead, also not a great place to go.
So, like I'm saying, 24 races, yeah, not a good idea.
Yeah, okay, fine, you've won me over.
Yay, I win.
You and Pat, double teamed. How can Hermanos Rodriguez, wasn't that Brazil called that? Was that a different one? No, that's Carlos Pérez. No, carry on. How do I know that name then? Hermanos Rodriguez. I shouldn't know.
Is it named after a driver?
Yeah, but I don't know why that name rings a bell. Does Milton Keynes count as an amazing place? There's no race at Milton Keynes? But no. No, it doesn't. No, Milton Keynes would not be on your bucket list of holiday destinations to visit. As nice as Milton Keynes is, it's not Barcelona.
Have I ever been there?
To Milton Keynes?
Hmm. I know.
Yes.
Have I?
No. Didn't we go to IKEA there?
Probably. I don't think that really counts.
I think we did.
We did.
I tell you what, we went to Milton Keynes because when we came home, we said we'd been to Milton Keynes, and Little Purple Goth complained because we didn't pop in to see Andy.
Right.
But we didn't know that's where he was until we got home, and she said, yeah. So we have been there for some reason. As exciting as our life gets. Oh, I see. Milton Keynes is the closest to Silverstone. Right. Yeah, I mean, we do let the side down. If you're looking at great cities to visit, a field in the middle of Northamptonshire just doesn't...
Yeah, but Pat said he's mixing great cities with classic racing names. Great cities and some historical ones.
I probably
ones.
Should have read Pat's post.
Yeah, I told you I didn't explain it. I've not done it justice. I'm sorry, Pat, I shouldn't have brought it up. I'm terrible. I thought it was a really good point, but I have not expressed it very well. And it doesn't help because I don't know geography, so I couldn't think of any names.
Right. Well, I sort of see that, yeah. Like, because if you wanted to go, like, okay, if you were going to go on a world tour, then Melbourne.
Singapore,
definitely. Montreal, got to be there. So city after city
New
after
Jersey.
City. All great. New Jersey, great place. Not sure, deep in the heart of Texas, top of that list, maybe.
South by Southwest, isn't it?
Ooh, Austin. Oh, might be, though. Yeah. Yeah. I can't argue
Austin
with that.
Is hip and happening.
It is. Where were we? I've totally lost
right.
the thread. Sorry.
Yes. So.
Milton Keynes is not a city. Oh, well.
Sorry. Also, Lukey likes that you said, didn't we go to IKEA? And he wants a Mr. C Visits series. Have I been there? Yeah, we went to a shop there.
I've been to Milton Keynes without you because I went to Red Bull.
Ooh, showing off now.
Name dropping. Humble brag.
A humble brag?
That was even humble.
Right. I was just about to start then.
Right.
Wasn't there a clock?
I was laughing too much, sorry.
All the things we've talked about so far, well, they're sort of old news, you know, over the past couple of weeks, and they're about the future next year. But what we need to do is concentrate on this weekend. A race, Japan.
Okay. Let's talk free practice then. What do you learn from free practice?
We saw, well, the main headline news is that it looks like it's going to be McLaren versus Red Bull. Weber was fastest in second practice, Button and Hamilton topped practice one.
Yes.
And the two of them, I mean, you know, you can't read masses into free practice times, but the two of them looked very comfortable.
It looked rough out there. I've only caught the highlights, but the thin track and the specific track layout in Suzuka calls in problems for drivers who maybe not used to it, or have been away from it for too long, because there was a lot of offs. A lot of people ended up in the wall, despite the fact it was completely bone dry. Didn't appear to be any adverse conditions out there for the drivers, yet they still managed to throw many of their vehicles off the track repeatedly. Heikki Kovalainen kicked things off, and that trend continued all the way to the end of free practice two.
Yes, there was a moment where Kobayashi went off and we lost him in a cloud of dust. Couldn't see him.
Don't know where he went.
No.
Just dust.
He may have rejoined the track again. Was hard to say.
Could still be out there.
Rosberg had to have an engine change, so that's probably put them a little bit behind schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And Mercedes having a rough day because Schumacher crashed.
He did, as did Paul de Resta.
Mm.
In the same place, unfortunately. Also worth a mention, Jenson Button has a 5-place grid drop for a gearbox change as a result of the last race.
Yes, I have an excellent quote from him on that.
Don't let me stop you.
He said, "We have to think outside the box a little bit, starting where we're going to start."
He did not say
he
that.
He said that.
Jenson Button does management speak.
Does he always? Yeah, but also outside the box, gearbox.
Oh.
See what he did there?
Oh, goodness.
I like it.
Right, I'll let him off.
Yeah. Raikkonen had a bit of a KERS issue. Well, it was quite a significant KERS issue. They had to take the battery out and they all had their rubber gloves on and it was leaking everywhere.
Kimi sprung a leak.
Yes, he did. We haven't seen any like dangerous KERS stuff for a while.
We did in Singapore. It burnt Bruno Senna's back and he was told not to go anywhere near the car.
Yeah, that was underreported, I think.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think. It's been a while since, aside from that issue. I don't know what happened, but was it battery fluid or some other hydraulics that was leaking all over Kimi's garage?
Something
worrying.
Not
a pretty sight, but he wasn't happy on the radio. His KERS wasn't working again.
Because it was leaking everywhere.
It's been a familiar tale for Kimi Raikkonen. I don't know why the Renault. I don't know why the Lotus team have so many troubles with their KERS system, but yeah, it always seems to be causing them grief.
And there was an interesting moment where Petrov was it down the home straight? He was just trundling along and his rear wing just toppled off backwards.
Oh, just before the end of the session.
Yeah.
It collapsed on itself. Never, ever, ever as a driver would you want that to happen. That's a complete... Was it a composite failure or was it not attached correctly?
I thought when he went on the radio and said, "I lost the rear wing," really what he should have been saying was, "The rear wing lost me."
You tried to kill me, guys, with your car. I mean, there's nothing the driver can do on the assumption that he didn't damage it anywhere around the track and nobody hit the back of him. That's entirely, that's mechanical failure. That's all the team's fault. And he was lucky. He was lucky that it wasn't a more serious accident, because with no downforce, you've got no hope going into that first corner.
There was also, just to note that Bottas was in again at Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And my favourite, Guido van der Garde, or however it's pronounced,
mm.
He was in the Caterham.
Okie dokie. Good. That's nice for the... did I read that Geert Vandegaard would get even more outings before the end of the year? So
possibly.
They seem to have... I wonder if that's got anything to do with the fact that Vitaly Petrov doesn't have any money left.
He doesn't have any money. Coincidence? He doesn't have a rear wing. It's all going wrong.
Maybe that's why he hasn't paid for the rear wing, so they just let it fall off. You can have it back when you pay for it, mate.
Harsh. So it's hard to predict what's going to happen, having only seen two practice sessions.
Oh my God, is this a prediction I feel coming?
Weber said they have a strong car. McLaren have a strong car. So he doesn't think anyone is dominant at the moment.
Okay.
Everyone is the same. Everyone has a strong car.
Except for Fernando Alonso and Ferrari, because
I think he's not counting anyone out.
Their car's getting slower and going backwards, according to everybody in the team. I almost thought you were going to predict something.
Well, we have to discuss predictions. Okay, so last race, I made a prediction in my head and with my boss, and I refused to talk about it.
Okay.
Because we know what's been happening with my predictions this year, and it's been getting ridiculous. I have been feeling the guilt, and everyone who, whenever I predict someone and then it goes wrong, all the fans come on to me going, what have you done? And it's not my fault. I just say names out loud. I can't help it.
Say your name out loud.
Last race, I predicted Alonso. Now, you're going to have to take my word on that, obviously, but I did, and he came third, was it? And nothing bad happened. So I think because I didn't say it out loud and nothing bad happened, the curse will be broken.
But does that mean you're going to tell us this time, or are you just going to say it in your head this time?
No, I think it's broken, so I can,
you can, say
I can
it.
Do it.
Tell
we
me.
Can discuss.
Okay, who's it going to be?
So for this weekend, I think, and I'm sorry, Lou, but I think it's going to be Jenson Button.
Even with because, a five-place grid drop?
Yes, because he did really well last year. He gets fired up in Japan because it's personal to him.
Mm-hmm.
The McLaren is looking good, and I think he would really like to get one over on Hamilton, who we have already discussed is probably more motivated than ever anyway.
Jenson, the one thing in Jenson's favour is he has been in Japan, I think, longer than all the other drivers, so he's become acclimatised to it. He was there early last week, visiting the victims or the aftermath of the tsunami. I think he was out there doing his bit, and raising some money for those guys and raising some awareness and checking it out himself. So that's a good thing. He's going to be acclimatized. You're right. He's going to be motivated, but I just don't know. I just don't think he's going to overcome that five place grid drop against Mark Webber, who loves it at Rensuzuka, and I think is going to be.
Webber has been looking good.
Yeah, the only thing against Webber is that if he was in front of Sebastian Vettel, you'd expect him to have to pull over to let the guy pass. So you can't. The only chance he's got of winning this race if he's in front and Vettel either out of it or too far back to factor. So my tip would be Webber. My tip would be Webber, pending where Vettel is, and if it's not Webber, it's going to be Hamilton. So let's go for it. I'm going to put my money on Hamilton. That's and who it's going
to
be.
In championship terms, we really want Vettel to do very well, don't we, compared to Alonso?
We'd like
just
to
make it
close,
interesting.
At the top, and therefore, it would be great if it finished Hamilton, Vettel, Alonso for the title. That would be brilliant. That would be my ideal podium. But I think Webber's going to be a factor, and I don't think Jensen will be too far behind, but not up there.
Lou said, oh, why do you have to predict JB to prove that the curse is broken? Because that is what I actually think. I'm not just picking names out of a hat. I can't help it.
You genuinely think he's going to do
well?
I do. Okay.
Also, Will said, because last time I got away with saying I hadn't made a prediction because I said my boss was off. And he was off, but we made our predictions on Thursday. Because we're cheeky like that.
So you didn't tell a lie or anything. You just didn't tell the truth.
I have not. I don't think I've lied.
You didn't say that you didn't make a prediction. You just talked your way out of it.
Yeah. Okay. I tried to be clever, but sometimes I'm rubbish.
I don't remember what you said. But fine. Good. Anything else to cover about the race? Probably not.
No, that's it.
Anything else to cover in the show?
You know what? I didn't even think about looking at anything that we've done site-wise. I don't think there is much. Been a bit busy.
No. Only features. We've mentioned Chris's feature, which was awesome. Stephen wrote a feature recently. That was awesome. Loving all the features. Who wrote a post? Oh, Journey. That's right. It might be worth mentioning Journey's post.
We should have mentioned that at the time, shouldn't we? That was
Shoot.
A bit stupid.
That was a bit stupid. It's a rare thing for Journey to write a post.
Yeah.
And he did, and he wrote a great one. Yeah, post is the only thing I can think to promote on Sidepodcast. We've not done anything else groundbreaking. Exciting.
It's been a rough couple of weeks. We've not done anything else. I think that is pretty much all the things we have to discuss. Heading into this weekend, I think we've made our predictions. I have cursed the drivers. It's all good.
Set the world to rights.
Yep. We know exactly what's going to happen next year or not.
We don't know anything that is going to happen next year. And that's why we still like Formula One.
So,
and if you disagree with me, you're crazy, because by disagreeing with me, you're agreeing that Formula One is predictable and boring. I've got to be right.
Okay. Oh dear. I have some homework for everyone. If you have thoughts on who might fill that Sauber seat and how that would affect the rest of the grid, there's a post by Chris that you have to go and talk about it on. What? Wow.
One more time?
Yeah, maybe. Where was I? I got completely lost in that one.
You were promoting, you were going to tell everybody to go and
yeah,
leave
no,
their
but
predictions.
Where, what?
Oh,
what?
Where do you want to come back in? Were you sort of over-talked over me?
I'll do it again then. I really like that.
Come back in at, if you've got thoughts on who's going to fill the spare seat at Sauber, you can drop yourself in there.
If you've got thoughts on who will fill the spare seat at Sauber, there's a post by Chris called A Checo-Shaped Hole in the Wall that you need to go and leave your thoughts on and how that will affect the rest of the grid as well. We
link
also
in the show notes.
Absolutely. We also had a great post from Journia about Schumacher's comeback. So if you have thoughts on whether it was a good idea or a bad idea, what kind of legacy that leaves behind, that is the place to do it, to discuss that. We're going to have threads for the racing action and qualifying action. Unfortunately, there's no Fact Bite Fact Box this weekend because there's no BBC coverage, but that does mean we get a lie-in. And that's all I can think of. Hope it's a good race.
Indeed. One other thing just to say really on the subject of comments is I'm loving the comments we're getting on Sauber Podcast recently. There were, with so little news, there wasn't much to discuss. But since all the announcements of the last week and a half, it's been manic. There's so many threads and so many discussions and so much great insight from all sorts of people. Just a huge thank you really has to go out to everybody who's taking part and who's joining in the conversations. The thing about it is every conversation is a great one. It's all so insightful and people bring so much to the discussion and you learn things and, you know, you change your mind. And so many, you know, in the last 3 or 4 days, I've been, you know, done an about face in so many different subjects because people have swung my opinion and then it swings back. And you know what I mean? It's great. I really love it. When there's not much, when Formula One goes quiet, the comments go quiet and that's normal. But when the news kicks off, you've got to check out. When the news kicks off, you've got to check out Sauber Podcast. It's all go. It's the place to be. It's the place to discuss Formula One. It's the best Formula One discussion in the world.
Wow.
I stand by that.
Even though earlier you were complaining about everyone.
No, I was.
You didn't mean it.
I didn't. No, I wasn't. I really wasn't complaining about everybody. I was merely pointing out that you were complaining about the dashboard along with everybody else. That's really what
I
meant.
Yeah, I know. I'm only teasing you.
It's all right. I enjoyed last night's discussion. It was fun. It was good. It's feedback is great and interactivity is great. It's just you laid into the dashboard.
Was I the straw that broke the camel's
back? I was a bit
back.
Sensitive about the dashboard after yesterday, and then you went and moaned about it. That's all.
Yeah, I wasn't moaning about it. Let's not go into that again. So that is our show. It's done.
We're done. We're back where we started.
We are. And we've overrun a bit. We're only supposed to take an hour and it's hour and 16. Oh, cut into your after show party, I'm afraid.
Are you serious about doing an after show party? Because I don't mind going and get some wine and just chilling out for 5 minutes.
Well, it depends on the people.
What do you want to do?
We
do
can natter, but...
10 minute...
I don't know if it'd be interesting.
Discussion. Lee just mentioned that it's been ages since he wrote us a guest post and he's offering to do another one. So I would look forward to that.
Yeah.
Can I just say that Lee's... I think he might know. I can't remember if I ever... Did we ever tell him? I don't know if we ever mentioned it. Lee's post on... fantastic post on not forgetting Roland Ratzenberger is, I think, or was for a period, the most popular F1 post on Sauber Podcast. Now, I'll tell you what it was last year. That's what it was. Last year was the most popular F1 story on Sauber Podcast. It wasn't like... Eurovision or NASCAR or other stuff we do live comments and discussion on. You know how it's like Doctor Who is like crazy popular on Sauber Podcast.
I love
no
how
reason.
Popular the Eurovision is. It just cracks me up.
It's the second Eurovision was last year was the most popular and this year was the second most popular thing on Sauber Podcast. it's crazy. It is crazy. And Doctor Who is in terms of visits, it's mental. I don't really understand it.
But
anyway,
the ones we've just done.
The ones we've just done and old ones.
Because that's weird because like there's only a few of us actually commenting.
Yeah, I think it's probably after the fact. It's just people searching for Doctor Who and finding it. I don't understand. I don't get these things. It's like search engine stuff. Anyway, the point is, Lee's post on Formula One was the most popular post about Formula One on a Formula One website, which I think is important.
Yeah.
You know, all the other stuff is not related to Formula One at all. The second most important, the second most popular one was the radio message between Rob Smedley and Massa when they said, let's get Hamilton on the, you remember the race edit? Yeah. Let's get him or let's.
And you did a debate thing on it.
That was the second most popular Formula One thing, but Lee's post, it's much loved post that. So we look forward to anything from Lee. And it has been a while. It's been a long time.
And it's worth saying that for our guest, lovely guest writers, that we are planning some better stats and things.
It's on the list. It's been requested that people be... and here's so the basic gist of the conversation comes from the fact that articles and features are quite lengthy and they cover a lot of topics and they're always in depth and insightful. And because of that, because they tend to cover so much of a topic, it's very hard to get comments on articles of that length, because in theory, if you write that much stuff and you cover it and you've written it well, you cover all the angles and people, I mean, most of my comments when I read a feature is love the feature, brilliant, loved it just as much as I love the last one because it's just as good as the last one. And you can only do that comment so many times where you're like, well, I can't argue. I kind of agree with everything you've just said. And so specifically for those kind of posts, which are different from like news star posts, like, you know, Michael Schumacher is retired, Lewis Hamilton's moved. Yeah. Those kind of posts will always generate loads of feedback because you just say, this is a fact and this has happened. And then people come and tell you what you think. When you're writing insightful feature length articles, comments don't seem as forthcoming. Therefore, they're not as useful as a benchmark to see if the article is popular or not. You can't look at the, you know, can't say, well, the features aren't doing very well because they've only got 10 comments, whereas that one about Lewis Hamilton has got 150. They're in no way comparable. So what you really want is some kind of feedback on views. How many people are reading this post or have read this post, or perhaps some kind of rating system. How many people enjoyed this post? So many people rated it 5 out of 5. Or whatever.
Yeah, we did that. It didn't work very well.
No, we did. Well, we can do better. Mm. We can do that and also page views. So what we need to do is work on giving feedback to writers so that they get a better sense of how many people are reading these things. And since the features button has been put across the top navigation.
Yep.
Viewing numbers have gone up exceptionally.
Well, who would have thought if you made something easy to click on, people would click on it?
Because it's well, there's only so much space. You can't put everything. Shush.
Is a revelation.
Sarcastic woman. You can't put everything in the navigation bar at the top because there's only so much space.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to pick and choose them carefully. But making the features easier to get to has made a big difference. And it would be good to give that kind of feedback to writers so you can see how popular it is. And also, if you're a reader, just to be good to see, you know, I am one of 1,000 people who've read this post.
It's not going to be one of them dodgy counters like off of the 90s.
Like Geocities.
Yeah.
Like a flashing number.
Like it's, you refresh the page and the number goes up by one.
An LED display. It might, you know, for fun, it might be now. Now you mention it, why not? Yeah, so there just needs to be some kind, because at the moment it's the only form of feedback you get as a writer on Side Podcast is how many comments you get. And if you've written a really, really good article and covered all the bases, you in theory shouldn't get that many comments.
Yeah. You need like a like button that's just, I agree.
Yes, that's exactly well what done. You want. Yes. I think you're a great writer, keep doing it is all you need. There's no other, I can't think, unless anyone has any ideas in the comments on how you can show that you really liked this post. I can't think of any other way of doing it. Because the amount of effort that goes into, you saw Chain Bear's cartoons. I've never looked at a Chain Bear cartoon and thought that's terrible. I love everything he's ever done, which is amazing. You know,
I did like the tortoise, Alonso. That might be my favourite.
You look at cartoons' work, it's rare that you like every single thing that a person's done. But in that case, you know, in Stuart's case, everything he's ever written for the podcast in the last 2 years, I've loved it all.
Except, well, there was one we didn't get because we didn't watch adverts.
Was it the Meerkat or something like that?
No, it was some people off of adverts. Oh, he was singing.
I didn't dislike it though.
Tenor or something. Go compare or
right.
Tenor singing. Opera singer. We didn't open.
No.
Didn't okay. dislike it, just no, didn't exactly. like it.
But there's no, it's very hard to just, you can't every single post, love your work, brilliant.
Yeah.
Yay, thumbs up. I just, yeah, it's hard to say. I love everything you do, keep doing it. So numbers might help that, you know.
Yeah. Because at the moment we rely on me going back to people saying, I love you, you're brilliant.
Yes. That's all we can do. And it's I don't really have a solution.
There's just so much love to give, you know?
I mean, I've got to say, I love Side Podcast this year because, I mean, how many posts have I written? Like 7? I don't have to do any writing.
You were on
at all.
Bit of a blogging spree this last week, though.
I don't like it. I don't want to blog at all. I'd rather not blog anything. And thanks to the brilliant guest writers, I don't have to blog that much.